जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज
Oh! So today we will be discussing about the next six qualities of a pure devotee. So last week we started a series of verses based on Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna explains to his cousin and also his friend Udhava about the qualities of him. Pure devotee, qualities of a pure Vaishnava, pure saint. So, last week we discussed about the first six of them, and this week we'll be discussing about the next six of them. So, Krishna basically explains about 28 qualities of a pure Vaishnava, a pure devotee of Lord. So, we go through it one by one, and then I will explain what it actually means. So, the eighth quality Krishna says to Udhava is Vasana Varjita Vichara Parayana. So the English translation for this means devoid of desires for material enjoyment. So what does it mean? So as a pleasure seeking people, because we are made of basically made of Sachit and Ananda. So Ananda part is always there, it is imbibed in our soul. So we are always pleasure seeking potencies of the Lord. So we always want to enjoy. So what's the difference? The only difference is we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. That's why we are all here in the first place. So if we understand the concept that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and we are all servants of Krishna, then everything will fall into place. So what is the quality of this quality of Vaishnava? What is the quality of a saintly person? Is, you know, he is devoid of desires for material enjoyment. So what does it mean? Whether he forces himself not to enjoy the material world? Well, he tried to restrain himself from doing so because he knows that it is temporary and it can't give him or her the real happiness which one is seeking from this material world. So but a Vaishnava, a saint by himself, he is devoid because he already acquired that quality by practicing Bhakti Yoga, by practicing devotional service. So, and the other way of looking at this point is, even though there are so many opportunities available for a person to enjoy in this material world, but the person in full knowledge, a person in complete understanding that this is only temporary. So what he or she does is they try to avoid the situation, even though there is some kind of temptation. I always give the example that you know, you can walk through the Newbury Street or Boylston Street, and there are so many billboards and shops and things like that. So your senses always get attracted to so many different items, you know. Shopping items, or you know, computers. I'm just giving an example. So there are so many things which attracts the senses, our senses. So these are sense objects. So if the senses are not controlled, and if the mind doesn't have a control of the senses, what happens? Oh, let me go and, you know, have a look, and then you go there, and then if you are not in the right intelligence, that you may not necessarily need it, but you may want it. You may probably spend like $500 buying a toy. So this is uncontrolled senses. Uncontrolled senses attracted to the sense object because the mind is not controlled by the intelligence of the person. So the opportunities for sense gratification is always there because the senses are always attracted to the sense objects. So unless our consciousness is completely fixed, I mean, what I actually means is consciousness is completely fixed in Krishna, meaning that ultimately knowing that Krishna is the enjoyer and we are actually using the facilities provided by Krishna in the material world to serve him better, not to enjoy ourselves. So, in that sense, if our consciousness is completely fixed on Krishna, our intelligence will say, no, wait a minute, like, do I really need it? Maybe not. Maybe I want it, but I don't really need it. So in that sense, a devotee, a Vaishnava or a saint, he's not attracted to these things. So in that sense, he is Vasana Varjita Visara Parayana. So he is devoid of desires for material enjoyment because he is completely fixed on the knowledge about Krishna. Okay. So the next one is Danta. Okay. What Danta means, naturally repelled by sinful activities. So if he says that this person doesn't commit any sinful activities because he's naturally have an aversion for it, or his consciousness is not attracted to do any sinful activities. So the first question arises is, what is a sinful activity? So first of all, we need to find out what sin means. This is not like a classical example. They gave it in Bible. I'm just giving an example. So this is in this. I mean, they have their own thing. But as a Vaishnavas, we normally go back to the scriptures. What scriptures define as sins? So I did some research on that, and again, same in Udva Gita in the 5th chapter, text number 27 to 29, Krishna actually explains about how a living entity, he actually engages in so many different things which he considered to be sinful activities. So he degrades his soul, and then he actually goes back to lower planetary systems. So let me go through these things so you can understand what Krishna actually explains as sinful activities. So the first one he says is, the person doesn't care about others completely. So in other words, the person is inconsiderate. So what it means is, he only thinks about himself. So he doesn't care about other people. So the second point he is saying is greedy. The person who is greedy. So greedy means what? Greedy for anything for that matter. So greedy for money, greedy for position, or greedy for power. It could be for anything. So this person is constantly contemplating on how to get more, how to get more, how to get more. How to get more money, how to get more power, how to get like position or, you know, financial situation, whatever. So this person is always greedy, so he is always making some arrangements. I want to have more, I want to have more. So it's never satisfied. So the person who is very greedy. So the third point, Krishna says is, the person is lusty. So what it means, it may be him or her, but they actually want to have physical relationship with the opposite gender. So, as a human beings, it's natural to have this kind of relationship. But if a person is constantly contemplating about it and he actually want to exploit the other person by engaging in these activities, then that means that this person is very lusty. So again, the same thing, like the desires are unfulfilled, it just keeps, you know, cropping up in his heart, and he actually wants to do it. So for that, he or she will actually go to any extent to get their senses satisfied. So lust is also another sinful activity. And fourth one is violence. Okay, violence, what Krishna trying to say here is violence against fellow human beings, but also towards animals. So both ways it works. So very aggressive. It not only like you physically go and like do something harm to the other person, but sometimes even our actions can actually be quite violent to the other person. So we should use our intelligence to see what is right and what is wrong, whether we were violent and harmful and hateful while talking to, you know, other people or acting towards other people. We need to consider it quite carefully. And then we need to get the advice from the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra as well to figure out whether what we are doing is right or wrong. So violence is another factor. So violence against human beings through words, actions, anything for the matter, and also to poor animals. And what people normally do is, even though as a part of the evolution, you know, at some stages the human race has consumed meat by killing the animals and things like that. But what it's explained here is that you exploit it and build slaughterhouses just to satisfy your tongue. Even though it's part of the evolution that we evolved in such a way, if you believe in Darwin's theory and things like that, we were living in the forest or we were living in the caves or whatever, and then like if you couldn't get like, you know, proper food, you know, at some stages our forefathers and ancestors would have done it, but they have done it just for the purpose of what? Just to survival. Not for like, I already have something to eat, but I want to overstock. Just go there and buy like 10 lbs or 20 lbs of meat and store it in my house, and then I want to satisfy my tongue. There is also like the factor of karma also gets into that. So it makes things even more complicated. So you want to try to avoid this. So this is also violence against animals. So we should try to avoid this. And then the last one is worshipping ghosts and spirits. So these people, they are completely in the mode of ignorance. They are in the tamasic mode. So a person of good intelligence, a person who is in the mode of goodness, he never gets into that. He just worships Krishna or Vishnu. So we have seen that even in a lot of our Indian culture, we have seen people who actually worship Durga Devi, Kali Devi, especially the Bengalis, because Kali is mode of passion. Kali Devi, if you have seen the photos of Kali Devi, she'll be holding the head of a demon, and then like blood like oozing out of the head of the demon and things like that, smashing the head of the demon. You might have noticed. So that's kind of that's mode of passion and also ignorance, because it involved killing. Even though Kali Devi and Durga Devi does the job on behalf of Krishna to eliminate demons, but still a person of high intelligence, he would worship Krishna and Vishnu. So Durga is called as Chaya. She is the image. She is the, what did they call it? Shadow. She is not real. So Durga also means prison house, prison. So she is what? Mahamaya. So there are two mayas. We have Yogamaya and we have Mahamaya. Yogamaya is the Krishna's energy, internal energy. And Mahamaya is Krishna's external energy. So that's Durga Devi. So when we say that, oh, you are in complete Maya Prabhu, or you are in complete Maya Mataji, what it actually means that you are not following the instruction of Krishna and you are just following the instructions of Durga Devi. So that's Mahamaya. The reason why I came to that point is that's in mode of ignorance. That's tamasic mode, worshipping ghosts and spirits. So what happens when you worship ghosts and spirit? You try to self-torture yourself and also other human beings. A lot of these rituals you might have heard about, like horror stories, you know, you self-torture. And then Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that you should not do anything to your body which tortures your soul. Because soul is also, you know, we have two souls in our body. Like, we have like our individual jiva soul, and we also have the paramatma inside. So if you are torturing your body, what it means is that you are also torturing your individual soul and also to the paramatma. Even though it is completely aloof. The paramatma and also the jivatma is completely aloof from the material body, because it's just a, you know, just like a carrying agent, the body, for the soul. But still, Krishna suggests in Bhagavad Gita that you should not torture yourself. That's mode of ignorance. Right? So, these are the five things explained as sinful activities. So, we should try to avoid. I'll read it again. Inconsiderate, greedy, lusty, violence, and worshipping, evil spirits and ghosts. So, we should try to avoid all these things. So, naturally, a saintly person or a God-conscious person restrain himself from all these activities. Right. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Your devotee is mridu. Mridu means gentle. So, what does it mean? As I explained before, gentle means gentle in actions, gentle in speech, and gentle in behavior to the other living entities. No matter how much the saintly person is put into trial or, like, you know, tribulations or problems or anything for that matter, he actually knows his or her constitutional position that I am just a servant of Krishna. Krishna is taking care of my life. So, in most of the situations, the person is self-situated, always meditating on Krishna. So, he or she is always gentle. So, the 11th one is, the next one is Suchi. Suchi means pure, clean. So, what does it mean? Cleanliness means two things: internal cleanliness and external cleanliness. So, external cleanliness, how it comes? You actually, you know, get up in the morning, you brush your teeth and you clean yourself, you take a shower. You know, twice a day or thrice a day is recommended, but once a day is minimum. So, we clean ourselves, so we are nice and, you know, nice and comfortable. The people around us is nice and comfortable, that we are not smelling. I'm just joking. So, that's what? That's external cleanliness. That is also very important, especially if you are going to temple, or if you are meeting with devotees, if you are going for Harinam, things like that, or if you are cooking something for the deities, it's extremely important. You need to be externally clean. And internal cleanliness, very, very important. So what does it mean? What does internal cleanliness mean? Basically, you don't do these five sins, which I explained in the previous point. That is the internal cleanliness. So how that can be attained? Because we are all so conditioned that our consciousness is actually not that pure to attain the divine. So what we should do? We should perform devotional service, bhakti yoga, so that all these unwanted desires to perform sinful activities is eliminated from our consciousness. How to do that? There are different processes of devotional service recommended in the Shastras. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padanam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. There are several ways you can actually do a devotional service. The first two things recommended in the Shastras is Shravanam and Kirtanam. What is Shravanam means? Shravanam means hearing. Kirtanam means chanting. These are basis to start a devotional service. These are very basis, and this will go all throughout the different stages of devotional service. So starting from Shraddha all throughout to Prema, We have the Shravanam and Kirtanam goes. So, hearing about Krishna, like what we are doing now, and also chanting about Krishna is very important. Chanting not only means that you actually chant japa, you know, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or chant, do kirtans or bhajans, shlokas, anything for the matter, but also reading from the scriptures, recitation, that is also kirtan. So, Sukadeva Goswami, who narrated Srimad Bhagavatam, he was the authority for Kirtana because he spoke the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj, who listened to Sukadeva Goswami, his authority for hearing. So, if you can follow the footsteps of these two great personalities, to hear about Krishna, to hear about Krishna's pastimes. And then kirtana, chant about Krishna, chant about Krishna's pastimes, reading scriptures, bhajans, kirtans. All these things will unfold and eliminate unwanted desires from our heart. So what happens? We restrain ourselves from performing these five type of sinful activities. So automatically, a person who does it for a period of time gets purified, and then he is clean. He or she is clean because his heart is clean. So that's suci. Right. Okay. Next point. A devotee is akinchana. We have a pujari here. His name is Akinchana Priya. So, akinchana means free from possessiveness. So, he is free from possessive. What does it mean, possessive? I belong to this particular caste. I belong to this particular country. I am man, I am woman, I am the husband. I am the brother. I am an American, I am Australian, I am Indian. These are all bodily conceptions of life. We identify ourselves with the material body, and this is my laptop, this is my iPad, this is my iPod, this is my tablet. We identify ourselves with the material possessions. What happens, when you have the possession, you become possessive. You want to be possessive. You want to own it. Oh, this is my iPod. I don't want to lend it to my friend. I'm so attached to it. This is my country, and I don't want to go anywhere. Things like that. This is my body. I want to enjoy in this particular way, like that. So these are all possessiveness, which comes by identifying ourselves with the body. All right. So to explain this little bit deeply, so there are four stages for a person who goes through in this material life. So I mean actions he performs. So those are dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So dharma means religiosity, artha means economic development, kama means sense gratification, and moksha means liberation. So moksha is the last stage. So people say that this is my dharma, this is my religion, this is my religiosity. I have to act in such a way. I was born in this particular country, so I should act exactly. Otherwise, I will be doomed. I'm just giving an example. Things like that. So that's identify yourself as this is my dharma, this is my religiosity. I have to do this way. But Krishna completely eliminates this concept, because in 1866 Bhagavad Gita he says sarva dharman paritya. He says like abandon all varieties of religion. Mamekam sharanam braja, he says. Just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you. I will take care of you. Don't worry. Don't fear. So he completely eliminates this concept of dharma. Just become my devotee. Worship me with love and devotion. I will take care of you. You don't have to follow all the dharma. Just follow my instructions. So this dharma is given in my family, or this dharma is given by him or her, whatever. But, you know, if I have to follow, then I should not follow this and that of Krishna consciousness. Then what's the point? Because Krishna says that don't worry about all those dharmas. Just follow my instructions. So, next one is artha. Artha means economic development. I want to have like nice bank balance. $1 million in the bank. So, Shishurala Gopi Vallabhaki. So, I want to act in such a way that my money keeps growing. So, this is artha. This is economic development. And then kama. Kama means sense gratification. We discussed this before. People who are lusty. They always want to enjoy the senses. Not only in the sense of physical activity, but also like, you know, some people tend to overeat. All they need is a little bit of food to fulfill their tummy. But they actually eat a lot because it actually gives the satisfaction for the tongue. They overeat. When you overeat, you get indigestion and you get so many health problems. So this is also kama, this is also sense gratification. And then the final one is moksha. Moksha means liberation. Liberation from this material world. So, a devotee, he is not interested in all different kinds of mokshas. You know, there are different kinds of mokshas available. You know, you can merge into the body, you can get a form of Krishna, or you can merge into Brahman, or you can live in a planet where the Lord resides. All these different kind of mokshas are available, but a devotee doesn't really care about all these different type of liberations. All he cares about is whether I'm in hell or heaven, doesn't matter. Whether I can serve Krishna, that is the most important thing. What kind of situation I was put into? I'm very happy, you know, like a big bungalow, or whether I'm in a hut, doesn't really matter. I'm happy, I'm self-situated. Because he's completely surrendered to Krishna. So, people who are inclined to these four principles, they have possessiveness. You know, whether they are possessive about the religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation, they are still possessive. So, we want to transcend this position of possessiveness. So, we will be put into the perfect platform of Krishna consciousness. So, a devotee who is naturally not interested in these things, he is akinchan. He doesn't have any possessiveness towards these things. So, that's akinchan. And then, next point is aniha. Right. What aniha means, indifferent to material acquisitions. Again, as I explained before, this is my iPod, this is my laptop. All material acquisitions. So, a devotee always understands the fact that everything is the property of the Lord. This doesn't belong to me. I am here to utilize those objects in service to Krishna. So, if you have the consciousness that everything belongs to Krishna and everything is a property of the Lord, I'm just here to use or utilize. I should not use the word use, but utilize these objects for the service of the Lord. Then the devotee is naturally aniha. He is indifferent to the material acquisitions. Okay. The 14th point is, a devotee is mitabhuk. So, mitabhuk means eat, take only that is necessary. We discussed about this. So, people tend to overindulge. They like the taste and then they want to have more of it. So, they go and eat. And then what happens? It's not good for your consciousness. So, there is always a risk of overeating, because that can lead a person from mode of goodness to mode of ignorance. If a person tend to overeat, you know, as they say in English, we are what we eat. If they tend to overeat, what it actually, especially too much fatty food, what it happens is like, it blocks your firing of the neurons. Too much fat food. So your brain doesn't work very well. And then you are always like feel tired and you always want to be in the bed. And then you just lie in the bed and then you don't want to do anything. You don't want to go to job or you want, you know, do your spiritual activities, anything for that matter. You don't want to do anything. So that's mode of ignorance. That's tamasic. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that by all means you should behave like a yogi. What does it mean? A yogi is a person who does not eat too much, at the same time who does not eat too little. That's what he says in Bhagavad Gita. So there has to be some kind of balance of what you eat. And he explains in Bhagavad Gita what kind of food a person should eat. He recommends, you know, food in the mode of goodness. Because if you eat too much of food in the mode of passion, then you'll be running around and you'll be restless. You can't think properly. All you want to do is like do, and then you'll be on always the run. Your mind is completely bombarded. You don't have peace. You'll be running around like, you know, headless chicken, because you are in complete mode of passion. And ignorance, we just discussed now. I mean, if you eat food, like, you know, things like consume alcohol or, you know, drugs and all kind of intoxicants, if you consume, what is, you just don't want to do anything. You just like lie in the bed. Because your mind is totally, you know, being taken over by those chemicals. People have problem handling their own chemicals in their mind. What to speak of other chemicals we put into our system. That's why, like, now people are interested not to take, especially the meat products in the meat industry, which was pumped with so much of hormones. They actually put all these hormones so that the muscles and the fat tissues get bigger and bigger, so they can, you know, release the taste. But it's full of hormones and all the chemicals the industry puts into that. And then it's definitely going to have influence of your own state of mind, because it's going to change the constitution of all the neurotransmitters and all the chemicals in our brain. Right? So that's also there. So a devotee is mitabhukhi, he only eats only which that is necessary. So we need to be very careful in what we eat. And it also, this point can also be extended to not overindulge in anything which is unnecessary. Overindulgence not only means, you know, any sinful activities, but also actions. If there is a need, you need to go and act. Otherwise, you keep quiet. If you think that it's not appropriate to go and act in a particular situation, then you can always keep quiet. That doesn't mean that you are not acting, but you are not acting because you are acting smarter. You are using your intelligence. It's not that for every situation we need to act or we need to react. Certain situations we need to react. Certain situations we need to act. In other situations, we can always keep quiet. So that is also unwanted intelligence. And the most important thing with that is talk. We will cover this topic again. A devotee is a mauni, which actually comes later during the discussion next week. But unwanted talk. We talk too much. Anything and everything. Discuss about anything and everything. It's not necessary. That's also overindulgence. speak that which is necessary. If not, just keep quiet. So that is also important. Anyway, I'll go through all these 7 points again. The first one is Vasana Varjita Vichara Parayana, which is devoid of desires for material enjoyment. And the second one is Danta, which means naturally repelled by sinful activities. We discussed all these 5 sinful activities. And the third one is Mridu, which means gentle. Fourth one is Suchi. Suchi means pure and clean. Fifth one is Akinchana, free from possessiveness. Sixth one is Aniha, indifferent to acquire material objects. And the seventh one is Mitabhuk. Eat or use only that is necessary. Okay? Alright, any questions? No questions? Yeah. So we will again go through the next 7 verses next week. And they have some important, interesting facts too. So we'll go through it next week. Yeah, if you have any questions, I will end the class here. Okay? Haribol, thank you.